Are you here to worship the Lord today? I trust you are. Isaiah chapter 53 will be our text today, but before we actually look at that, I want to look at Luke chapter 10. So we'll go to Isaiah 53 in a moment, but I want to look at Luke chapter 10. And the reason I want to look at Luke chapter 10 is because, you know, with a new year, and I'm sure all of you have things that you're planning to try to do or do better at this year, or maybe you've made some changes in your life, or some call it resolutions. I don't prefer to use that term because usually it's from a Christian perspective, because resolutions I've found in most cases don't work. But I like to, for me personally, I say that. I like to use the term or the phrase commitment, the word commitment, because I feel like that when we're making commitments to the Lord, then we have a better chance of keeping them than we do when we make resolutions that maybe give us a way out sometimes. And so this morning I want to challenge you in God's Word of some things that God laid on my heart several weeks ago concerning our church as we go into the new year. Our vision for the church, our theme that God would have us, the direction that maybe God would have us to go in this year. God's laid some messages on my heart that we've kind of put it in a category of a theme, and we want to share that with you today. Our vision, our theme, and it's all in. I'm all in. And if you'll notice, it's personalized when we say the word I'm all in. Not everybody's all in, but when you can say I'm all in, then you're committing yourself. And what do we mean by that? Well, there's a text that I want to use as our text verse that we'll be talking about over the next several weeks, making reference to. It's Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now I share that passage with you because God literally gave that to me when I was thinking along this line of being all in for God. You know, we find that God wants us to be all in when it comes to the things that's mentioned here. Being all in to love God with all your heart, not a part of it. We can say we love God, and I found that sometimes you can ask the question, do you love God? And some will say, yeah, I love God. Peter was asked that, if you remember. Even Jesus questioned Peter's love. And Peter, just in a way that we sometimes might answer that question, he answered it. And really, I'm sure Peter loved God, but it just, God, you know I love you. Sometimes that's maybe the way we treat our spouse. You know, we might think, well, I don't have to tell you I love you, but we need to hear it from time to time, don't we? And love is something that we'll talk about over the next few weeks. But yet at the same time, God says love God with all of your heart, with all of your being, and with all of thy soul, with all of thy strength. He even goes in greater detail. And with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I think the understanding by that is, how can we say we love others if we don't really love God? How can we say we have a love for our spouse, our children, and we don't love God? Because there's no way. How can we say we love souls and want to see souls in heaven if we don't truly love God? Well, there's no way. So it starts with loving God. And the question I pose to you this morning, are you all in when it comes to loving God that way? And if not, I want to challenge you, and I, over the next few weeks, not just in this area, but there'll be other areas we'll look at. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 53 this morning in this series of messages that we'll look at, because really, where does love begin? Well, love begins by knowing God. No one can truly love without knowing God. I love my wife dearly, and she knows that. But just because we're married doesn't make us, well, okay, you love one another. No, I cannot love her, or you cannot love your spouse or your children without knowing God fully. An unsaved person cannot know love. Boy, I can make some folks mad if I got out here and said that. But someone who is unsaved, who is not a believer, does not know how to love. Because the only way that we can truly know how to love is to know God. Because He is love. And so, I'm thankful that I know God, aren't you? So I can love those who mean something to me in my life. And so, but it starts Isaiah 53. I notice this is a unique passage. There's a lot to this, but we're just going to look at verse 6. And Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, as we look at this verse, we see something unique about this verse. Maybe you've seen it already. You haven't had time to study it maybe like I did, but there's something unique about this verse. There's a lot said, but it begins and ends with the same word. And what is that word? All. Just a three-letter word, all, which may not mean much to people, but it has a significance, and it's there for a purpose. What does that word all mean in this verse? Well, that word means everyone, all. There's no exceptions. And if I said all, but then didn't include everyone, it wouldn't be all, would it? So it has to include everyone, and that's what God says here. There would be those that would maybe not like to be included in this category. Well, God says, we're all sheep that have gone astray. We've all turned, every one of us, to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the word all. Now, we won't get into all of that today. There's some things that we'll talk about over the next few weeks in this series of messages. But Romans 3:23, I love that passage. I quote it a lot, especially when I'm witnessing to somebody or want to share the gospel, because that says a lot in that one passage. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, when it comes to being a sinner, then that verse says we're all in. You can say, "I'm all in," when it comes to being a sinner. I'm there. Now, whether you like to admit that or not, listen, God says we're sinners. We're all in when it comes to being a sinner. There's other verses in the Bible. I like what 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6 says. It says, "Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be a testimony or in due time." You know, 1 John 1, 5 says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And then one other passage, 1 John 1, 7 says, "But if we walk in the light," because by the way, he's the light. "And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, we're all sinners. We agree with that. I mean, hopefully you do. Because God says you are. We see that in the text verse. And I want to look at that again, our text verse. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, what is this verse saying to us? As we're going to park here for a little bit this morning and break this verse down. And it's pretty simplistic. I'm not going to preach on anything that's really something you're going to have to really study hard about. It's not going to be way over your head. I'm kind of going to be real simplistic this morning. Usually I am anyway. But the Bible is that way. God made it real clear in this verse. What is this verse saying? Well, we've all gone astray. Is that you this morning? I mean, at one time in your life, you realize, hey, I'm that sinner. As Romans 3:23 says, we're all sinners. And I've gone astray. Now, what does that mean? We're kind of like the sheep. Sheep, as the Bible says here in verse 6, he compares us to sheep. Anybody ever had sheep before that you raised? Now, help me out, because I've heard this. I don't know, because I've had no dealings with sheep. But from what I gather about what Jesus is, what the Lord is saying in that passage, sheep go astray. That's normal. Is that right? So that's normal. Those of you that had sheep, you know what I'm talking about. So it's normal for sheep to go astray. And we find here that sheep, of course, need a shepherd. And if you go in the Middle East, you'll find a lot of the sheep over there as they were in the Bible times. And they always had shepherds that would lead them. Protect them, because they were known to go astray. Now, I've never personally, as I've said, dealt with sheep, but those that have, help me out with this, those that have always stated one characteristic that stands out about sheep, and that they are dumb animals. All right? I know for you animal lovers, listen, I'm not trying to offend you, but they are dumb. That's what I've been told. Is that right? I mean, from the standpoint that they just don't listen. They do what they want to do. They see something they want to go after, they go after it. They just wander off in their own way and gets them in trouble. So they have to have a shepherd. God's word says that we're just like sheep. Now, I'm not calling you dumb. I'm not calling you dumb. But God says we're like sheep. So you can fill in the blank there however you want. We're like sheep that wander around with no direction in our lives. And we need a shepherd. And thank God Jesus is our shepherd. He proved that when he came. And by the way, would you agree with this? Those who have had sheep before, you know what I'm talking about. Without a shepherd, there's no guidance, there's no protection, there's no provision. And the same, we have to look at it as God being our shepherd. Without Christ, there would be no guide in our life. There would be no protection. There would be no provisions. We often think we do it. We like to give credit to ourselves that, listen, look what I've done today. When it comes down to it, no, look what God's done. Look how God watched over you today. How foolish we sometimes have found ourselves being in situations where God has bailed us out so many times. And yet, rather than giving credit to the shepherd, to the overseer, we like to take credit for things that we do in life. We couldn't make it without God. I now realize that. Now, sometimes I forget, and I have a tendency as a sheep to wander off. And we have to be careful of that. We might say, I'm all in right now with God. But you know what? What about tomorrow? You may be all in for God, because look, I'm in church today. You know, I'm reading God's word every day now. I've said New Year I'm going to be in God's word. But you know what? That's good. It's good to have set goals. It's good to have visions like we're talking about here today. But you know what? Without God's help, we're going to wander. We might say today I'm all in, but all it takes is for Satan to come along to distract us and to get us off track, and boy, he's working hard, and he will work hard on you as a believer to do that. You know, we've all gone astray. Now remember that the word all means every one of us, right? There are no exceptions. God says we've all gone astray. Not one person is righteous. We may think sometimes we're righteous, but none of us were born righteous. None of us have a righteous drop of blood within us. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10, nobody's righteous. You ever meet somebody you're witnessing to and you're trying to get them, you have to get them lost sometimes before you can get them saved. You know those type of people I'm talking about? You know, they're good people and they think, well, you know, preacher, I'm going to heaven because I'm just a good person. You know, maybe they don't put it like that, but you kind of have to get them, I use the term, you have to get them lost before you get them saved. You have to, you know, let them know what Jesus is saying here, that we're all sinners. We're not calling people sinners. God's already said that. All of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. We've come short of His righteousness. Sin, what did sin do when it was entered into to this earth for the first time through Adam? Well, sin brought death, right? I mean, up until sin came along, it was like heaven on earth. No death, dying. It can be painful to go through that experience of losing a loved one. You know, something never took place before until sin came along, but death did. Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, death is a word that we see in that verse that we don't like to use too much of, but yeah, we have to understand that's part of life, because you see, you know, sin brought about physical death. Sin always leads to physical death. But also in this passage, what it's really teaching here too, what I love about Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is that? That's the spiritual death. So there are two absolutes that we see in Romans 6:23. There's the physical death. That's an absolute. We're going to die. We're going to leave this earth. And then there's the spiritual death. Now, the spiritual death is that paycheck for every man's slavery to sin. You think about that. You know, there's got to be a price for sin. And by the way, Jesus paid that price. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that gift is what Jesus did for all of us to bring eternal life to us. So our sin has placed us in trouble. One man's sin, which is who? Adam. That one man, Adam, we like to point a finger at Adam, but you know what? If you were Adam, you would have sinned too. You see, that one man's sin has caused all of us to be born with a sin nature. Wendy's baby back there. What's your baby's name? Tag. I should have known. I asked you this last week. Tag's with us this morning. Every now and then he says amen to me, all right? All right? Tag's a sinner, isn't he, Wendy? She's never had to teach Tag. He's already, how old? Just turned a year. Yeah. Just turned a year old. He's already showing his sin nature. We love Tag. Mama loves Tag. But old Tag's born a sinner. Born a sinner. I don't want to offend Wendy, so please don't take offense. I'm not offending you, Emma. All right? Because Wendy knows. She's done dealt with Tag a few times. She knows Tag's a sinner. That's because he has that sin nature that we're born with. You know? And apart from God's love, there's no hope. Apart from God's love, there's no hope for any of us, and thankfully He loves us. In Romans 5:8, again, but God commendeth, He proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we're all in when it comes to being a sinner, right? Now, listen, before a person can get saved, they have to come to a point where they admit, I'm all in. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And that's what that first part of that phrase says in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So that's the second point. We've all gone our own way. We're all gone astray. We've kind of gone our own way. What does that mean? Well, he says we have turned everyone to his own way. Now that means we've made our own choice. Just because we're all in as sinners doesn't mean that we're all going to hell. Because there'll be some that accept Christ and some won't. But you see, for a person to go to heaven, they have to make that choice to do that, right? So that means that we make a choice. We've chosen whenever we find ourselves going our own way, we make the choice to do our own way. We can't blame it on others as we'd like to do. I don't know. I'm sharing my age. I don't remember the show, but used to say the devil made me do it. Who was that? Flip Wilson? Kids back on the back row. Who is Flip Wilson? He's that black guy that's on television my mom used to watch. She had to watch Flip Wilson. Yeah, I know. Some of you, I did too as a kid. Devil made me do it. You know, the devil don't make us do anything. Now, he has a way to throw it out there, and he does. But you know what? We make the decision to do what we want to do. We're either going to be all in or we're not. Now, when it comes to sin, we're all in. We've made our choice. We've chosen to rebel against God when it comes to being sinners. We're all in by choosing to rebel. Rebelling how? We rebel against God's laws. Andy Stanley came out this week, and I oppose Andy Stanley's preaching. I know he's Charles Stanley's son, but I'm gonna speak against him a little bit. He says that the Ten Commandments, I read his message, so I'm not sharing gossip. But he says the Ten Commandments are not for today. Now I understand we're not under the law. But he took it a little step further than he should. And that is that, you know, we're not to build monuments and things. And I don't worship monuments. You don't either. But you know what? God's Word is God's Word. Old and New Testament alike. If the Ten Commandments wasn't important, then why God put them in there? Why is the Old Testament there? I know we're not under the law, we're under grace. I understand that, but the Old Testament is in the Bible because it complements the New Testament. So God's Word, and I'm not jumping on Andy Stanley. I'm not going to give an excuse. He made a mistake. He didn't. He knows what he was doing. But God's Word has to be obeyed. And we have a tendency, and by the way, we have that nature within us to disobey God's Word. We choose to sin by knowing to do right, but we make the choice to do wrong, don't we? You ever had something come at you that you know is sin, and you know, yeah, what am I going to do here? That's how we do it. You know, now before we were saved, it was easy to do it that way. Just go ahead and sin, because, you know, that's what unsaved people do. But for a Christian, when we know to do right and we choose to do wrong, that's outright rebelling against God. Now, we already rebel against God as an unsaved person, but yet more so, I think, for a believer who knows to do right and choose wrong, they're going to have much more to give an account to God for. We've chosen to rebel against not only God's Word, but we rebel against His love. God proved His love towards us. He demonstrated His love to us, and yet we rebel against the love of God. God gave His all to us and for us, and yet we rebel against that. Sure we do. That's our sin nature. We rebel against God's goodness. Oh, listen, would you agree that God is a good God? I mean, the difference in the Bible and the Quran. And I've read bits and pieces of the Quran. And what I gather from reading the Quran, which is not the Bible, but when I gather reading the Quran, is that it's a hateful book. It promotes violence and murder versus God's Word is a love book. And that's why God's Word stands, and it will stand, and it stands far above the Quran because it is the authority, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. God spoke it. The Quran, man spoke, man put together. So God spoke with love and passion. But yet we rebel against God's love. Even to the point that we know that God died for us, but yet we still rebel against God's love. We rebel against God's goodness. He's good to us every day. I spoke about that earlier. Thank God for His provisions. Psalm 52 verse 1 says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." God's goodness is not just for today because you're in church, but God many times demonstrates His goodness to us even when we're not good. God never blesses wrong, but God still, listen, as I've said many times, God keeps that oxygen going when He could easily just say, "I've had enough," and turn it off. But He chooses not to. Listen, Romans 2:4 says, "Don't despise the riches of His goodness, for it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance." It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And you see, God demonstrated His love for us on the cross of Calvary, and by that we realize His goodness brought us to the point of where we're at today. And you know, thank God He was patient enough. Even through times where we rebel against God, He demonstrated His goodness, all for the fact to bring us to Himself. Well, we've rebelled against His laws, His love, His goodness, and we have a tendency to rebel against His grace, don't we? His grace is undeserving. We're not deserving of God's grace, but yet God demonstrates grace time and time again. You see, there was rebellion against Christ when He came to save us. There was those, while Christ walked on the face of the earth, and here they saw Jesus and they saw His life, but yet there were those in Luke chapter 19 verse 14 says, "We will not have this man to reign over us. We've heard enough. We don't want him to reign over us." And sometimes in our Christian life, that's the way we live. Sometimes we get to a point in our actions and we have this attitude, and that attitude is what really put Jesus on the cross. You see, the rebellion continues today. God's Word is clear concerning the love of God, but there are still some who will not receive Christ. Sadly. You say, "Well, how can you know all this and not be saved?" Well, there's a lot of people that know the love of God. They've heard the message, the gospel message, but yet they continue to rebel against it. Maybe you were there at one time. Somebody was just nagging at you every week, and boy, they're praying for you, and then you finally gave in. But yet, for some, it takes a while. You know, when we know the truth. By the way, even some believers choose to go their own way instead of following God's way. I mean, you might find yourself in the category this year of not being all in for God, rather than being all in for God, going your own way. Rather than following God's ways and finding yourself chasing after the ways of the world. Sadly, we know people like that. We know family. We know church members. As a pastor, I've seen it. Sadly, I can go through my Rolodex in my office because I keep everybody's name who's ever been here. And from time to time, God would lead me back there to go through and just to pray for some folks. And I come across some people that I hadn't seen in a while. Then I realize, oh, they're not serving God anymore. They've rebelled against God and they found themselves in the ways of the world. I've had some that's come to me over the years, and I'm speaking from experience as pastor that's come back and says, "Preacher, I want to get back and serve God. I've gotten out of God's will. And you know why? Thank God He opens His arms up as our loving Heavenly Father and welcome us back into the fold. Not that you don't lose your salvation once you're saved. But you know what? We have a tendency to find ourselves straying off, because you know what? We still have the characteristics of that sheep, don't we? That sometimes it just keeps, if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord, will come at us. And we'll find ourselves wondering. We'll find ourselves forgetting who is our provider. We find ourselves not enjoying the goodness and the love of God. You see, man's rebellion led Jesus to the cross. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins. As we look at our passage again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord. Now, what does that mean? The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That just simply means that Jesus has sufficiently shouldered the consequences of sin and the righteous wrath that is deserved by all of us. He shouldered that when he went to the cross and he died in your place and mine. I want to invite you to go to, if you want to, a passage in Scripture, and it's found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. Paul writes here as a reminder of the price that Jesus paid for all of us. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says, "For there is one God," right? There's only one God. And then he says, "And there's one mediator between God and men." In other words, that's Jesus. That's what he says. That man is Jesus. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. He's the advocate. He's the one that we cry out to when we're in trouble. We can forget about him for a while, but boy, you get yourself in trouble. Who we call out to? "God, I need your help. Jesus, help me. I know I hadn't been in church in a while. I know I hadn't been in your book. I know I haven't prayed, but Jesus, I need your help." And Jesus says, "Nope. Since you ain't been in church in the last 3 Sundays, forget about it." Has he done that to you? No. I mean... Thank God he doesn't leave us forsake us. He's one God. He's our mediator. If he's truly your God, then verse 6, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified or be a testimony in due time. In other words, he became our sin debt. He paid our sin debt. Jesus sufficiently shouldered the consequences of our sins on the cross. What kind of sins have you committed? Well, you know what? We're all sinners, right? We already see that. But, you know, it doesn't matter really what kind. We don't put sin in a category. God doesn't. There's some sin we might say from a human perspective that are worse than others. But God doesn't look at sin that way. God sees sin as sin. It's all sin in God's eyes. Lie, murder, it's all equal because it's sin. And he shouldered that upon the cross for us. Jesus paid it all. Jesus, in other words, he proved to all of us when he came to the earth and he lived and he died on the cross and he rose again, that when he did that, he says, "Hey, I'm all in for you." He says, "I'm all in." Aren't you thankful he's all in for us? He did it willingly, by the way. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." No better friend to have than Jesus, is there? He proved his love to us. He proved the fact that he's all in for us. And he says, "You know what? You won't find a greater friend than what you have in me," Jesus says. And John, 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." By the way, he laid down his life for all of us. We couldn't pay for our sins. Only Jesus could do this. And John the Baptist, actually in John chapter 1 and verse 29, he described Jesus as the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. He became the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10 says, in other words, that word propitiation simply means he was the only satisfaction for our sins. You try going in the bank this week and taking Monopoly money. Take some in there. Don't go to Trustmark. They need a break. But go to the bank this week and lay that money on the counter and say, I want to pay my debt, my house off. How do you think they're going to look at you? How would you look at them, Paul? Well, first of all, they're going to think, who is this crazy person? And they may think, well, you know, they'll laugh about it, give them a laugh. But they're going to have to tell you, sir, ma'am, I'm sorry, but this is not any good. This won't pay your debt. You know, when some people think, well, I'm going to go to heaven because, you know, I'm living a good life. You know, I try to go to church as often as I can. I even put money in the offering plate when it comes by. Surely that's good enough. Sorry, it's not going to pay your debt. By the way, your debt's already been paid. We like to think that, well, we've got to do something to get to heaven. No, our debt has already been paid. The Bible says that again. It says, John says in 1:29, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He laid down his life in 1 John 3:16. Our debt has already been paid. That's the fact is, are we willing to accept him? He's already paid the price. Jesus doesn't have to prove that he loves us, right? He's already died on the cross. And his death on the cross, his shedding of blood, was to pay our sin debt. Now, do we accept that or not? Well, if I want to go to heaven, it'd be foolish not to accept. And if somebody walked in the bank with some real cash and says, hey, I want to pay my friend's debt off. You know what? Ray that real cash. And then you get the phone call or you get a letter saying, hey, your debt's been paid in full. That's going to make you feel pretty good, isn't it? Now, but you could deny that, I guess. But who would deny that? You're going to say, thank you. He is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction for our sin debt. Jesus died on the cross for you and me because we needed him. We need him. No way out. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're like those sheep. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, I'm thankful that God was all in for us, weren't you? Oh, he's all in. My challenge to you today is, just ask you the question, where do you stand with God? Are you all in when it comes to being a child of God? Because you see, you can't say I'm all in this area and that area of my Christian life unless it has to start first by being all in with God at the moment of accepting what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you're all in that way, that's good. That's a start. But let me ask you this, are you willing to go all the way for God? Are you willing to say, I'll be an all-in for God, no matter what the cost, no matter how much time is invested, no matter how much energy that I have to give, no matter how many talents and gifts that God wants me to use and that he's given me, I'm all in. Because he proved he's all in for us, isn't he? He didn't go part way up Calvary and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to turn back. This is not worth it. He went all the way. We've gone astray, but God provided us the shepherd who is willing to lead us who's willing to protect us for all eternity. We've gone our own way, but Jesus came to show us the way, eternal life. We don't have to stumble around. We don't have to worry about the darkness because He is the light. Jesus Christ died to pay for our sins, not because we deserve it, but He died to pay for our sins because He loves us. And to be able to say, I'm all in for us. He gave His all. Let me ask you, are you willing to give your all for God?